Hey there, special educators. Welcome to Autism Academy 360, a podcast to making your job as special education teachers easier. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Abby, a behavior specialist. And together, we have over 25 years of special education experience.
And I'm a veteran autism teacher. We both are passionate about empowering you with practical teaching strategies and actionable tips and tricks that will help you thrive in your role.
Whether you're a seasoned educator looking for fresh insights, a newbie navigating your first classroom, or a parent of a neurodivergent child, this podcast is your go-to resource for all things autism.
So let's get started with today's episode. Hey there, special education teachers, and welcome back to another episode of the Autism Academy 360. I'm your host, Lisa Holliday, and today I want to talk to you about what is errorless learning. I've had so many people come to me to say they have no idea what the purpose is for them to not have a wrong answer in front of them. So I just kind of want to dive into that. So errorless learning is basically an instructional strategy that we special educators use to make sure that the correct response is always chosen. Basically, it's a way for the child to always get the right answer. Errorless learning involves using prompts that should eventually be faded. So why even use errorless learning? Students on the spectrum and even some other disabilities aren't always successful when learning from the mistake that they make like typical children do. Sometimes correcting a mistake when using standard instructional methods will result in negative behaviors and then no learning is had. So instead, we give them errorless tasks and activities. So let's go over the benefits of errorless learning. There really are so many benefits, but let's just go over a few. Number one, it builds confidence. It increases their stamina. It increases that one-to-one corresponding skills. It decreases behaviors. So let me kind of go into that, because when you have a student who's sitting down and you are giving them a task, maybe you're giving them a choice of two, a choice of three that they have to do, and they guess the wrong answer, and you say, nope, that's not it, or however it is that you correct them, sometimes they are going to have those negative behaviors. They might have a full-blown meltdown because they picked the wrong answer. And so we kind of have to go back a step and kind of just give them that where they cannot pick the wrong answer. So then going forward, once you add that distractor, it'll be a lot more of those decreased behaviors. So number five would be to gain more time back. Number six is student acquires skills faster. Number seven, provides a positive learning environment. Eight, they're highly engaged. And number nine, they have more opportunities for students to gain that reinforcer at the end. Those are just nine benefits of using errorless learning in your classroom. Now, some of you might be sitting there like, okay, if I start with errorless learning, how in the world do I fade this? Because I can't always just give them the right answer. You are correct. So you want to make sure that you start fading by using one distractor. Maybe that distractor is a blank card. Maybe it's an object. But you place the distractor with the correct response in front of the student. I would start by placing the distractor far away from the student, but still in view. That way, the student is still choosing the correct response, but you have in view an incorrect response. So for example, if you have a student working on colors, identifying colors, maybe you're working on blue. You give them a blue card over and over. Say, give me blue, and they give you blue because that is the only answer, right? So they give you blue, and then you give it back to them. All right, give me blue, and they give you blue. Then how you fade that is putting another, you could even put another color there. So you have blue right in front of the student, but then you put up yellow, and maybe yellow is way beyond their reach, but it's still in view. So you can say, give me blue, and then eventually you want to bring that yellow card up to where it's sitting side by side with the blue. So then the next time you say, all right, Johnny, give me blue. And then if he still picks blue and not the yellow one, you know that the child has learned blue. And then you can increase those distractors by putting, you know, maybe an array of 4 or 5. Maybe you put blue, green, yellow, pink, and white out in various different orders. And if they can still pick blue, then that means that they have mastered that. So starting with that airless and fading it is really helpful. Because if you would have started it the other way and Johnny didn't know blue, you put all of those cards out and you say, give me blue. And Johnny's constantly giving you another card. Maybe he's giving you orange. He's giving you yellow. It's not going to teach them which one is blue. All right. So that is kind of how to fade that. You know, what activities can you use for airless learning? Honestly, there are so many different adapted activities that you can turn into airless activities. And there are also so many activities that you can purchase that are already designed for airless learning. You can use file folder games, worksheets, task boxes, adapted books, all come in airless versions. I will link all of my airless learning materials in the show notes for you if you cannot find anything that you can use. Don't always believe what you see on the internet, because I saw one time that a special education teacher was sharing an airless learning activity. It was a 5-piece peg puzzle, but a peg puzzle is not airless. If you take all of those peg puzzles out and you give them to a student and expect them to put them back in, they can make an error. If the child can make an error in which they get the activity incorrect, that is not an airless learning activity. So using that type of peg puzzle is not airless. You don't want to start there. Now you could create an airless activity using that peg puzzle. Let's pretend it's just a bunch of animals. So you put all the peg puzzles in except for the pig. You leave the pig out, but then you kind of Velcro or tape the rest down. Then you put that puzzle in front of the student and boom, you have an airless learning. All they have to do is put that pig peg puzzle, triple P's, into that puzzle and they can't get it wrong. That's where it needs to go. So that's where you can start with those types of activities as well. Just know that when you find an activity that you want to do on the internet, you have to make sure that there's no errors to be had. A lot of things that people say are errorless are not truly errorless. Where can I use airless learning? You can use airless learning in small groups, one-on-one instruction, or even in your independent centers, which is one of my favorite things to do. Adapted books that are airless can even go into your classroom library, so even your least confident kids can have a chance to read a book during free time, just like their peers. All right, so let me give you a few tips to get started. You're going to want to break tasks into manageable small steps to ensure success. Making it into smaller, achievable steps is really going to help the success rate. So you also want to make sure that you provide clear instructions and demonstrations to guide students through the process. You also want to use a ton of visual supports. Using visual aids such as picture cues or little circles on the table or however visual prompt you want to use really helps students understand their expectations and really will prompt them to make a correct response. So visual supports can cater to different learning styles and enhance comprehension. Another tip is to make sure that you provide immediate feedback. We want to reinforce the correct responses immediately. And this helps to solidify that learning and reinforce that positive behavior. So going back to my blue example, if you have a student who gives you blue, you want to reinforce that. So whatever it is that the child is working for, whether it be a gummy or bubbles, you want to have those ready, because if the student hands you blue, you better be giving him that gummy immediately or blowing those bubbles immediately. And once you do that over and over and over, it really gets the student to understand, okay, I'm doing something right. I understand that the color is blue. And don't forget that we need to gradually fade those prompts. So once that student demonstrates that, okay, I understand it, I got blue, you want to reduce the level of support and prompts so the student can develop that independent skill or be able to generalize the skill when they are introduced to new situations. Basically, errorless work is really a powerful tool in the classroom. By minimizing errors and maximizing success, special education teachers can create successful learning opportunities where students can thrive and they can learn. So incorporating these errorless work strategies into daily instruction not only fosters academic success, but also nurtures students' confidence, independence, and love for learning. That's all I have for today, guys. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Autism Academy 360. We hope that you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead.
Before you go, don't forget to hit that follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review.
Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and most importantly, stay connected. We'll catch you in the next episode.